What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today. It's too much today.
Listeners, and welcome back to Filling in the Gaps Rerolled. We hope you had some great gaming since the last time you listened, and if you're new, welcome to the table. We are not an actual play podcast, but we're hoping our podcast will help you actually play. But we are three DMs who create stories and sessions based on randomized theme and scenario tables, and to come up with some wacky encounters and fun things for you guys to do. Might be a campaign, might be just a one-shot. But either way, we hope you guys have a great time, and again, welcome to the table. With that out of the way, let's introduce ourselves. I'm Malcolm, and I'll be your intro guy. And, you know, typical one host. I'm one of the hosts.
And I am Sam, or DM Mambo, if you please. I will be rolling for your themes today. Lots of fun.
I'm David, and I'm going to be rolling for our scenarios.
All right, so to kick things off here at Filling in the Gaps Rerolled, we like to have questions to kind of start, you know, the creative mind going. And the first one I have is one that I wrote a long time ago and almost forgot about, which is simply alignment thoughts. So what are you guys' thoughts on alignment in D&D? Or in other RPGs, for that matter?
I think in D&D, it's used too often as, like, a justification of what you make your character, where it should be more, like, reflective of how you play, kind of not the other way around. Like, the classic examples are, I'm playing a lawful good paladin, so I have to do these things. Like, no, the choices you make as a character should be what determines that you are lawful good. It shouldn't be like, I have to do this because of the alignment I chose. I'm doing actions that are reflective of an alignment.
That makes sense. What about you, Sam? What do you think?
I kind of agree with that. I think it's also, it can be tough to decide on how exactly you want to play a character. And I think it's very much like the Pirate's Code. It's a guideline, not a set of rules. One day could be a little bit more chaotic or, you know, bad than others. Doesn't necessarily mean that your character has changed. It's your general choices you make lean to one side is how I take it. That's just my opinion on it.
I like that, and I really like what you said about the Pirate's Code. Personally, I take it more to a video game kind of level. If anyone's played Fallout 4, or any of the Fallouts, really, as far as I'm aware, they have a certain system where if you, you know, if you're mean to the Brotherhood of Steel, that doesn't necessarily carry over to, I cannot remember any of the other groups in any of the Fallouts right now. Oh, no! But any of the other groups, because they just kind of exist independently. But that group might see you as evil. The other group might be like, no, they haven't done anything to me. They're good guys. Or a group might say, oh, they hurt our allies, the Brotherhood of Steel. That really upsets us. Or, hey, they hurt our enemies, the Brotherhood of Steel. That really upsets, or that's really great for us. So I view it more in that way, where it's a perception of the world onto your characters, more so than your characters using it. But I also agree that it's great for helping form your character at first. If you're like, I don't know what I really want to be, kind of explaining these are kind of what's attached to each personality type. So I find it useful, but I definitely agree it's best as a guideline rather than a rule.
Yeah, I just think alignment is a little too set in stone in D&D, especially with, like, classes that require, I know it's kind of going away, but classes would require specific alignment kind of choices in the past. Like, in older editions, you couldn't be a lawful anything barbarian because you had to rage, so you couldn't, I guess, respect law because you were a berserker.
Rage.
Or, as a druid, you had to be neutral in some form because you couldn't be too chaotic or too lawful. You couldn't follow society too much or kind of go crazy. You had to respect nature.
Yeah, the one that gets me is a lot of the spells that are like, oh, it does damage to, like, evil creatures or it does damage to good. Like, seeing those kind of change or to have it be a much more, like, set thing of, like, you know, maybe just do holy and demonic or do, like, whichever actual things you're trying to target and making it more set in that way. It could use a bit of an overhaul, I guess, you know?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think I don't really know if it's really even worth it to have it in the system at all at this point. I think, again, it's a guideline, and it might be a little of an outdated guideline, if that. Because what we're necessarily doing with alignment is, like I said, it really helps the DM out a lot, and it can help out newer players decide how to play. But when's the last time you ever just went in and was like, ah, yes, what's my character's alignment again? I don't very much. I know what my character's objectives are. I know why they're adventuring. I know what they're going to do while they're adventuring. But I'm not trying to change their alignment. I think really alignment goes for, is a DM or storyteller's tool at the most part.
Mm-hmm. Something that should be reflective of your choices rather than, like, yeah, shouldn't drive. It's like, have your character do a Myers-Briggs instead. My paladin is an INTP. Let's go.
Now I really want to see a bunch of characters doing Myers-Briggs tests and figuring out where they'd all lie on it.
Could be. You could put it in for your adventuring guild. yes. Let's see. What quest you'll go for?
I want to know what mine is compared to my character's.
It's a good question. And speaking of questions, Sam, shall we roll?
Nah. No, wait, yeah, let's do it, baby! Roll them dice! Today, I'm rolling on the themes table, and I'm just using a generic Barnes & Noble dice that I got.
I've got a nice little acrylic dice that is black and silver with yellow letters.
For those who are new to the table, what we do here at Filling in the Gaps is, again, we roll two d20s, and then we have one for themes, one for scenarios. And we combine those two together and try to make a really awesome session for you. So here we go. Let's see what we have.
For the scenarios, I rolled a 19.
And I rolled 8. So a bazaar from good old Mole 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 Mole.
And eaten alive, also by Mole.
Well, let's chop up this episode and make some guacamole.
This is interesting. What are you guys thinking when you hear a bazaar, as in like a shopping center, and eaten alive?
Oh, so not JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Can it be JoJo's Bizarre Adventure and we have an NPC named JoJo going to a bazaar?
I was about to say, there's nothing saying that JoJo does not ever go to a bazaar in his adventures.
I would like that. But we could also do... Have we done enough, or I should say, have we overdone mimics?
We did one episode that was about everything being mimics, but I don't know. That's one episode, really.
Eaten alive. Hmm.
What I'm thinking is... that you have somebody at the place that eats them at the bazaar, and the trick is you have, like, you know, a bunch of like charlatans or different things, very distracting, very crazy place, and then you get, you know, taken in and you're eaten alive by a thing, or he's like, come back, I want to show you this awesome thing, and you come in there and you're eaten alive by whatever. You could even be eaten alive by like a tent or something, like a or, ooh, if you wanted to go, not Star Wars-y, but kind of like a worm, not a wormhole, but a worm's mouth thing, like you step in and you get gobbled up by, like, a giant purple worm or something, and now you're eaten in the worm in the bazaar. But that doesn't merge bazaar very well, huh?
I think it could. My first thought looking at this was, like, almost a Pinocchio adventure, where you get eaten by the giant whale. But rather than it being like this terrible thing inside the stomach, it's just like a civilization or just like a shopping center of people who have been eaten a lot that are like, yeah, this guy eats us. His stomach acid is not that bad. You just kind of exit. We have these ponchos. It's okay. But the store here is really nice.
I also had the exact same idea of eaten by a whale. Literally was like, oh, I should have just said the first thing popped in my head was eaten by a whale. Right after JoJo, it went to Job and eat by a whale.
That could be like a fun mini adventure, like this kind of black market that is in the belly of some sea creature that your party needs to go and find, get eaten by, buy or trade for whatever they need, and then get pooped out and get back to their boat.
What if we made it a giant? So it's like this giant... eats people, and then it's like, but inside of him is like either a rebellion or like a bazaar, and there like a whole civilization inside. You could do, I don't know, how big are giants?
It could be a titan instead of a giant.
Hmm. Most things are humongous, yeah.
There's usually different types of titans.
No worries. Honestly, after you said different types of titans, my brain just went, Robins! And I was like, I hate myself for that joke. Okay, so... But like, yeah, a humongous being of immense power, you have something inside of it. Eaten alive. We could also go Magic School Bus with it, where it's like, you need to go in there and fix something. And then there's like a society of like germs or something in there that are like, welcome to our bazaar. And you're like, why are you in his gut? And like, gut health is yada yada yada.
I just rewatched Osmosis Jones.
You know, I was about to bring him up. So perfect.
Dave is just reading everybody's minds today.
So you could shrink down and go to the like internal civilization that is this person's body and go to a bazaar there.
Oh gosh, this one has a lot of possibility, and I feel like I'm shutting myself off to it because I'm just like, I need something to grab onto, but I don't even know where to go with it.
Well, let's see, what would be the, we could focus on some of the pillars of an encounter. What about, what are we looking for? So like, we can do like the three pillars are a location, goal, and obstacle. What are we could focus on our goal. What would our goal be?
So wait, I guess taking it to the beginning part of a goal, we have to figure out why we've been eaten. Were we supposed to be, or were we not supposed to be? Because in the situation where we're like, we'll help them out, we're fixing, we're getting whatever's in there out of there that's bad. Or is it that we're like, hey, no, we've been trapped by this dragon and it ate us, like, or this titan and it ate us?
I think wanting to be eaten is a fun thing to explore. And maybe whatever this giant thing is, isn't even aware that it has the, like, small civilization inside of it. It's just going about its day eating things and is surprised at how easy it is to forage for food.
That could be.
Honestly, I'm just having flashbacks to our anime episode.
Yeah, it's interesting. I like the idea of it being swallowed, but I also like the idea of it being a place we go. I feel like we always kind of fall into the trope of, oh no, we fell into a pit of death, or we stumbled in on this. What if it's just our goal is to go find a rare item that is inside the belly of this titan in its magical bazaar? So we literally have to be eaten alive, but for normal citizens, that's a hard concept to grasp. Being eaten alive. So if our goal is to get something, we could still help out in that bazaar, but it's like a magical plane inside of this monster.
So now you've got me thinking about Kronos again, kind of going back to what David had said earlier, and like that man ate his children who were gods, so I'm pretty sure he can eat a bunch of mortals. And I think that, or if we really wanted to get crazy, I don't know enough about Attack on Titan to make a proper reference to Attack on Titan, but it feels like you could do an Attack on Titan-esque thing here, and then just have the item or whatever you need, have it be that, oh, okay, how about this? Follow me for a second on this magical trip. So we have like a normal bazaar where we're going to go get this item. Then random beastie comes in, Godzilla-esque thing, Titan guy, whatever, comes in and just starts wrecking shop. The item that you need gets eaten by the beast man. So now you got to go into him to get into the stomach to get the thing back.
Yeah, I like that.
And get out alive. Is how's this?
So for whatever this creature is, I've been kind of looking up titans in the background. There are Mercury titans, which are basically gargantuan embodiments of arcane arts. So consuming all these magical items might make them more powerful. And so that's why they kind of go after this artifact your party's following. And that's why there's this trade inside of them, is because there's all these wondrous items that have been devoured that are kind of giving it strength, but also just kind of going to waste inside that can now be traded by whoever makes it in.
And what if you have to be invited into the market? Like, you need that pass.
It'd be kind of funny if that's the original rule of the market, and they still keep it inside of the stomach of the beast. Like, no, 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 you still need an invite, man. You can't come in.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely people who can escape out of it and leave and come back, but I think that that's the goal, is to get one, the invitation to get into the market to be able to even buy your artifact. And then your other goal is to get back out.
Now, do we want it to be that this is a an escapable place, because the idea of escaping out of a Titan's body sounds very difficult, so I don't know, especially since they're, and I've been reading up on adventurers a lot, actually, and how they're supposed to work, and it's supposed to be, you know, level 5 is like hometown heroes, level 10 is like, oh, you're like government officials, 15 is like you're really running things, and 20 is like saviors of the multiverse. So in those cases, though, none of those are normal people.
Right.
Like, and I feel like the people who'd run kind of a bazaar wouldn't necessarily be a bunch of adventurers. So I don't know.
Oh, I'm not saying they run the bar.
No, I'm just saying for finding a way out, I don't know if they would know how or if they would have tried.
Well, that's why you need the invitation. You can't just buy your way in to getting eaten by this Titan. The whole point is to find the location of this ever-moving black market, or, you know, market inside this Titan, and then it is to be able to figure out a way out. So it's either your invitation would give you the exit, but if your party, you know, maybe loses a contact or doesn't get a chance to figure that all out, aren't patient enough, that's when they have the problems of, like, we got in all right. It's easy to get this creature to eat you and get into the bazaar. It's not so easy to be able to escape, because I think if we're dealing with people in the underground, it reminds me very much of, like, the Hunter mafia auction. You know, it's held in the same place, same time every year, and it's a show of financial and muscle of power. So without your contact in, you can't get out. So they'll gladly let any stupid adventure enough to just barge in is fine, but now you're stuck there. And that's, I think, how a lot of the shops open up and this bazaar opens up, is these people can't get out. So that's why you need to be these, you know, not normal adventurers. You need to be like the level 5 to 10 or higher to be able to either bust your way out through its gut or wherever, or have someone strong enough to teleport your way out. Or you could have that rogue who has the connections and buy your way out, sneak your way out, you know, type of thing. That's kind of what I was going for, is that's the goal, is to grip your item, buy your item if you can, steal it, whatever, and then get back out. That's the whole goal of this encounter.
And I think that the bazaar shop owners are going to be people who know that to them, there is no way out. So they'll sell you ways out that don't work. But it's going to be a test of, do you give up some of your favorite items? Do you give up, like, what are you going to give them? Because they won't want gold or whatever. Gold's useless. Mm-hmm. But if you're like, oh, new stuff? Yeah, we'll take new stock and stuff. If you want info or ways out, we can do that. And having that be kind of a trick or a trap could really be something devious there. But yeah, I like that kind of idea of getting out. I would say that being inside of a Titan, I don't think you should be able to teleport in or out, because that's a magical body.
Yeah, I was, you know, just giving examples, but I agree. There would definitely be magical barriers. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking for DMs who, you know, sometimes skim the guide rather than read it, like maybe me a little bit. but yeah, having the situation where it's, you got in, it's very exclusive. Whether or not this beast is in on this or not doesn't matter, because to him, he gets like, I get nutrition. People die down there. I'm going to eat them. They get digested. Like, whatever. Doesn't really have a big part in the story, at least thus far. But while you're in there, having that kind of situation where it's like, oh, trust us, we know how to get you out of here. Now you have that fancy item you wanted, and then it's like, well, they're going to die. We're going to pick up the item, and we're going to just do it again to the next people until one of them either actually finds a way out for us, or doesn't matter. Then we just keep doing it forever, and they bring us more stuff. Suckers born every minute type mentality. Or suckers eaten every minute, I guess, technically, for this. What are you thinking, David?
I have another side option. There's another Titan called a Carbon Titan. And Titans kind of range in their alignments. I know we talked about alignments earlier. But as a DM, alignments are okay for creatures. These ones are chaotic good, and they're more nature-themed. So if you had like a conclave of druids out in the forest that use this as their kind of traveling marketplace, what better bouncer is there than a giant titan keeping people out? And if you're working to kind of make nature better, this titan would totally be on your side. And a lot of kind of the magical items and whatnot that are traded are like things that smaller creatures wouldn't be able to just go into a town and sell. So this could be like a monster bazaar, like creatures of the forest.
I like that. I like that, like, it's because your party's been, like, good and helpful. They're like, oh, are you keeping peace? Are you, like, helping other people? It's kind of like the Aladdin cave where it's like, oh, find the diamond in the rough. And it's like, oh, you are the diamond in the rough. Ah, like, yeah, that'd be kind of neat. And then you could have, like, a bunch of cool, exotic, like, items and stuff inside. You don't even have to have... Though I do like the idea of the druids living inside it, but you could have, like, the spirits of past druids or, like, forest creatures. You could have fey creatures inside! I got really excited we don't get to use fey a lot. And they could be like, hey, you, like, rewarded and stuff. Oh, that'd be so cool. I really like that.
We haven't used them in a while. There could also be myconid tribes inside.
This is also true. The joke lives on.
They're the ones who are breaking down all the materials. Like, if someone does die downstairs, they're the ones that chuck them out of the force field so they can go into the stomach of the titan. So I think it's like in its own little pocket dimension that where the titan can eat and function normally. And part of the payment for using its body is the fact that you throw food down to it every once in a while. And when someone dies, it gets, you know, that food. So it gets that person that died.
That's really good.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the episode. Just kidding.
I like the idea of it being a reward system. I like the idea of maybe your party's tasked with stealing something from it, and they can choose to steal it or buy it. That old classic where it's like, oh, okay, well, you need the item. The item is inside there. You have to prove... Oh, no, this is just becoming Aladdin. You have to prove you're worthy of going inside. Maybe it's got some, like, nature questions for you, like Monty Python-level nature questions, though nothing too crazy. Where it's like, what's your favorite color? And you're like, green. And it's like, yes, you are correct. Enter.
Got it.
What if this titan is sick?
Ooh.
So you go in to get this item, maybe to buy it, and they're like, well, you could spend this crazy amount of stuff on it. Or, you know... Fred has been complaining that his stomach's upset and we're not sure what to do. So you delve down into kind of the body of this titan and you find out there's some creature inside. And we can double up on the eaten alive thing and have whatever's inside be kind of trying to devour the titan. And then when you fight it, it tries to eat you too. Maybe like a tribe of lizard folk have found their way into the stomach that are acid resistant. They just kind of swim around in there and just eat it.
I do not know why, but when you said this, when you're like eaten alive from the inside, I pictured a shark head with a human body, like shark, like king shark almost, like, but more shark than the human, like a shark from up down to the belly and just chomping away. I don't know if that's a thing in D&D. It needs to be. But yeah, something like that maybe is in there doing some things you need to stop.
I mean, that basically describes lizard folk, right?
I mean, shark folk can be a thing. I'm still waiting on dog people, D&D. Do it, you cowards. Wizards of the Coast.
Pathfinder, actually, second edition, has a race called Shuni, which are like pug people.
See, that's only one type of dog, though. I want all the dog types. Give me the variety. I want to be a were Great Dane. Like, let's go. No, actually, I want dog people, not just the ability to turn into a dog, because that's what druids have. But anyway, something like that's interesting too. I really like the reward system thing, though. If that is my vote, that is my area where I'm like, ooh, I want to explore that more. That's where you got me for sure.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I think that's a good one.
Your party can be friends with this. Maybe not necessarily just the Titan, but with the people who run the bazaar and kind of work with the Titan.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Much better friendship if you're able to kind of go down and take care of this stomach infestation.
I still like the idea of that being either fey or like ghost. I think ghost in the stomach would be just like a really cool idea. It's just like, oh, yeah, no, he ate us, but he's cool. He's a cool guy.
Yeah, it was my fault. I fell into the acid. I should have known better.
I used to be an adventurer like you until I took acid to the brain.
I'm not sure what my unfinished business is, but I can't really do it here.
What if they don't actually die, but they're in this state of, you know, if they leave, they're going to be dead. Kind of like how Kronos ate the gods. They were just in this like state of consciousness, but they can choose to either, you know, work the rest of their eternity in this Titan, or they could end up just kind of, maybe their ghosts are just stuck inside of the Titan, and that's kind of like the curse of dealing in the black market, is if you die, your body can't be regenerated. You can't use anything like Revivify. It's your soul now belongs inside this Titan.
What if, and I'm taking it a little dark here, but what if we have it be that this Titan's like, time doesn't work in its stomach. Like, you will not age in the stomach of this being because it's a different plane, right? Microplane. And of the stomach, and it's like, oh, are you dying? Do you have sick people? Just feed them to me. They're not dead. You can visit them. They're just like, they're in there, and they're all just like, hey, we're not dying anymore. We're okay. But if we leave, we're definitely gonna die. But, or even like, well, now we're getting the Grim Reaper involved. Yay, fun. The idea of, like, this being is like, I will hide you somewhere where death cannot find you. So, like, all your people are like, okay, cool. And they can hide in this, like, microplane that moves around a bunch. So, literally, death cannot find them. It's like, I don't know. Where did they go? They're not where they're supposed to be. They're not on this plane. And they're not in any of the other planes.
So we can have the stomach acid of this giant basically be like our world's version of the Fountain of Eternal Youth. But rather than kind of something you take out and drink, it's just, if you're in the soup of eternal youth, you will live forever. You'll kind of melt into it, and the giant can kind of do some kind of ritual where it takes you out and you're rebirthed, but you're just kind of the soup, and your party gets to go down, and as they're wading through the stomach acid, maybe they have like a boat, just pieces float to the top, and they can talk with different sections of this people soup.
Oh, so they're like, yeah, they're like all one in the soup.
with the soup, it takes eating alive to a whole different level as well, but also it, if you're in there and you know that you can possibly die, then it's technically eaten alive, but also eaten a life, because you choose to give up your life of coming back.
Now we're at the point where it's like kind of like a cult going in, like you'll be all one in the soup. That's a whole different thing. But the best part of this, I don't think we've acknowledged, is that we can go, where are the bad guys? And they're at soup. And you can buy clothes at soup because it's a bazaar.
While the giant is sick, it can't do whatever the process is to let people out. So while you're down here trying to figure out what's wrong with the giant, you can also be talking with people of the soup trying to kind of help you.
I like this. And I like the idea that, like, maybe this area is like an easy way for people to come see their relatives and folks who have joined this place, and they're like, the Titan is not like cruel or mean or whatever. It is just like a being, and it's like, all right, you pay whatever tax, you like feed it ham or like whatever, you know, a goat. And it's like, all right, yeah, you can enter with the goat, and you get to see your family again. Your family's in there, and they're like, hey, we are part of the soup, and we'd like to say we're doing good. And you're like, oh, cool, family, I came for advice or whatever. And then you can leave. But there's a problem now that's preventing you from leaving. I can't. At soup is killing me. you can do something with that where you're just like, okay, people are having trouble leaving, and maybe the Titan's even the one who asked you for like help with this, and is like, I don't know what's going on in there. Something has changed, and you can try to figure out what that is.
I don't know what's going on in there. I'm really upset.
I think it could be where you're trying to kill the Titan.
That could be an option too.
And end the bazaar. Because if we are going to go with the underworld mafia black market thing, and that's the kicker, is they know no one dies inside the soup. No one dies inside the Titan. And that's why they've made a deal with it where it gets the endless side of nourishment of these people who ever wronged the mafia. And you're one, maybe a family member or whoever, you know, however you thread this into your campaign, this encounter, it could be that important NPC who just wants to like pass on, but they can't pass on until the giant's taken out or the titan's taken out. So your goal is to get in there, and then your ultimate goal is to cause it so much indigestion that it eventually dies, or you cut your way out so you can kill it, thusly releasing all the free labor that the mafia has, you know, constructed, because they could use the bazaar as the front for crafting so many different magical weapons they get their hands on that they want to sell and such. So high, you know, evildoers like your BBEG is going to this auction to get some merchandise or something. And this is what really helps them, or helps your players, like, okay, so this is how you keep getting this Eye of Destruction or the Eye of Disintegration. You just buy a new one down on this market, which is hidden inside of a titan, and no one would know, because once you're eaten by it, you're turned into part of its digestion tract, this soup of, you know, undead workers that are, you know, always told, yes, five more years, and you'll get your soul back, and you're able to leave, and you can pass on, you can survive, whatever, you know, just 5 more years. But it keeps getting added on and on, like, you know, oh, you didn't finish your quota today, Bob. You gotta stay another 5 years.
I have an idea for this. That tell me how we feel about it. Since I love the soup thing so much, soup prison. Prison soup. You are, like, this is now, instead of it being as we've kind of described it before, and this is kind of losing a bit of the bizarre, but having it be that when you're eaten alive by this creature, you are, like, trapped within, like, eternal life is not the gift, it's the curse. Like, you cannot die. You are forced to work on these things because that's what the bad guy wants. So the bad guy just feeds. So this could even be a thing where, like, the bad guy beats your party and is just like, feed it to the Titan. And the Titan just gobbles you up and you're like, is our party dead? Was that a TPK? Like, what just happened? And it's like, no, you're alive. You're just now trapped in a state where you'll constantly be alive and forced to work. And you have to figure out how to break out of here, out of this horrific bazaar that you're trapped within. That you can see other villains and people kind of come in and take stuff for.
I love this a lot now. So basically, what we have is there was this kind of place you could take your loved ones who are sick, and you add them to the soup, and you could always visit them. Somebody realizes, hey, that is a lot of untapped, easy-to-exploit knowledge. And if we put smart people in there, smart people who we don't like, who have good information, we can just access it. And so this bazaar kind of builds up around someone who sells secrets. Like, that's the original store. And then kind of as people have been visiting, the rest of this small bazaar have been built around it. So maybe you go there for the secrets, but all the people who have died, their stuff doesn't digest. And it's just kind of picked out and it's sold. You get pants of the soup or magic weapons from the soup. And so you'd have people who aren't falling in kind of going down with nets trying to, like, fish stuff out. That would be, like, a whole group of people. But if you fall in the soup, you're just the soup now.
Oh, yeah, okay. Adding to that a little bit, I think that maybe we don't even need shop owners. Maybe kind of what you're saying, David, you just have it be that, like, the body naturally takes those memories and things and infuses them with, like, whatever things it was. So maybe it's like shoes or pants or glasses, and you can, like, pull those out, and you're like, you put these glasses on, you're like, oh, I know a ton about arcane magic now. What the heck is this? And it's like, that's not the item we were here for. And you can find these, like, different objects and things because other adventurers were fed to this thing. So it's like, maybe you have some magical items from there that you're like, oh, this is an enchanted conch. It gives you answers, and it's like, what should we do now, conch? Nothing. So, like, you have it where you can go and get these items out of the soup, but it's still very dangerous because you don't want to end up as part of the soup. Unfortunately, that would mean that these people and their personalities are also probably lost to the soup. But that's life.
Whoever's kind of in charge, I think it would be good if they can, like, call forth people from the soup, rather than kind of it all merging into one.
Yeah, I was envisioning. I like the Fae, you know, the new Unearth Arcana of fairies, it could be. Or maybe it just so happens, I don't know why, but I just started envisioning, like, this, you know, greasy salesman goblin working with a titan or magical giant who has, like, this magical stomach, and his workers could easily be sent in there to be like, you know, all right, boys, what are you looking for? You're looking for a plus one rapier? Yeah, I think good old Jim Bob, or whatever the Titan's name is, I think he had an adventure with one of those a few years ago. Cost you 20 gold pieces, just in case when a guy doesn't come back. And, you know, that's the real bizarre part is you're inside this thing's stomach, but there's also workers that are aligned with it that have these special suits where they can go fishing through the soup of the dead. And if you're looking for knowledge, they can be like, oh, yeah, hold on. This guy knows how to talk to the dead. Come on, let's go talk to whoever you're looking for. Oh, your grandma was eaten by him when he was on a rampage. Ah, sorry to hear that. You know, then, or like, you know, maybe villages are giving their elderly and terminally ills, like, as tribute to this titan. They're being eaten, but their memories and bodies are, like, continued on because they don't technically pass on. So they pay gold and tribute to him or to this organization yearly for the allowance to talk to them again.
Maybe it's a great honor.
Yeah, it could be a great honor. It could be very much like that. I think that would be fun.
I think originally it would have been a great honor until the mob finds out about it, and they are able to kind of, either through manipulating the Titan or just kind of not telling, deceiving the Titan, they kind of take control over the operation here.
I feel like it's using, like, a church as a front, you know? Like, just because somebody's doing that doesn't mean that the church is bad. It just means, like, those people are misusing that thing. Like, I think Titan's like, I win either way. And I think the people who are giving stuff to it originally were like, no, this is a great honor. This is how things are supposed to be. And I think the mafia is now like, hey, you want to see your loved one? It's going to cost you. Like, I'll summon them forth, but it's not free anymore. You can't just go to the Titan and bring him a goat. You got to bring a goat and you got to bring 50 silver for me. So, like,
that's really good.
Having that kind of setup where it is like, this was a normal thing for them to do. Maybe it's not normal for D&D, and maybe it's not normal even for, like, out of that city or out of that location, but a geographical norm for that is, like, of course, you go, after you've lived your life or you feel like you've gathered so much information you don't want the world to lose it, you go talk to the Titan, explain your case, and get eaten. And then when it eats you, we can bring you back whenever we need.
Memory will always be available.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He thinks he's doing a good job. Maybe he's not the smartest or something like that. And he thinks he's doing this great honor because that's how it was originally. But then, you know, his first caretaker dies or something like that. And the mob takes over, or the, you know, with Thieves Guild, whatever dark, shady entity you have in your game comes through. And that is their job now. They've taken it over. It very much reminds me of Mice and Men-esque. I'm kind of seeing, like, I'm thinking of a Cyclops, but, you know, the Titan is simply just, not simple-minded, but, like, pure-hearted and doing its best. He's like, I understand I have a lot of power, I have the ability to keep people alive, and the mob is like, yes, you do. Let me help you get to that point. Like, we're here to help you, blah, 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 blah. But really, they're, like, throwing all of their enemies down the pit. Anyone with knowledge, you know, open up, eat this guy. He wants to be eaten because he's about to die. He really wants to stay alive, though. So now they're trapped either inside of, like, the stomach. Maybe there's different planes inside of this Titan. So you have, like, the knowledge part where they keep people alive just enough to get the information out of them. Then you have the bazaar, which is kind of, like, more open to the public where you pay a price to get in, you pay another price to get out. And then you have, like, being trapped and then eaten and thrown into, like, this big pile of soup where you are just, where when you are finally disintegrated and your consciousness is, like, formed back into the Titan itself, they send their guys with, like, the giant fishing nets and they're like, all right, see what we got down there. And that's when they're like, oh, wow, we got a rapier, we got the Horn of Invisibility, that's a great one. And anything they don't want to use for their schemes and evil doing. They sell back at the bazaar with their own buyers who you can either auction off or have different shops opened up, but they all work for the mob in some way.
I like all of that, but the one thing I think I might change would be having the Titan be, like, I just think it should be very Godzilla-esque in the sense of, like, it doesn't care. It's like, oh, okay, you're giving me stuff? Fine. Like, it's not so much that it's like, I have a duty to you or I'm doing my best. It's just, I am a force and I do what a force does. I go about the way I am a storm. I do not care that I destroy things. I just do what I must to survive. And then that's it. Like, it's not even, so it would be an easy, still a thing to manipulate. That's the plot of a lot of Godzilla movies, is the point that is easy to manipulate or trick or get agitated or whichever. And you have that happen where the mob's just like, yeah, we'll feed him whatever. And he's just like, all right, it's calmed down or it's satiated, or maybe it's agitated by the fact that it's like, these are not the souls that I desire to eat, or like whichever. Like, and you can have that be kind of that way. But I think it's,
after your party escapes from inside, they get to decide if they want to tell this Titan that it's being manipulated, and then the Titan will kind of get upset at that, and there will be tons of repercussions because this giant thing now wants revenge.
I like it. Is there anything else we could really add to this to really make it that chef's kiss? It's been a while since we've done one.
What would be, so what's, I just, maybe for me, a more clear-cut goal and obstacle for this?
Maybe the goal here is to go in and learn a secret. Like, you want to visit the secret broker inside Fred the Carbon Titan.
I still like the idea of it being one of the souls of the people who were either in the soup or, like, you know, one of the immortal souls within. So they have the secret knowledge, and it's like, well, yeah, but the mafia who run the place don't want you to get that, so.
Yeah, so our goal is to get a secret. I like that.
Mm.
You, the DM, can, you know, specify that for whichever you need it to be. And then what's the obstacle?
The mafia, definitely.
Survival.
And survival, yeah.
So I guess more like, what would we have to roll if we're thinking about it as DMs? Like, what would we set up as the way to get out? So our obstacle, of course, is the mafia.
The bazaar doesn't take money, so you have to do a favor. So that would be maybe kind of fixing what's going wrong inside the Titan, which would put you at risk of kind of falling into the soup. You have to battle with these parasites, whatever we decide that they are, if they're lizard folk, that are kind of damaging the Titan and kind of threatening their operation.
And I'm sorry, so why wouldn't they take money? If the mob owns it, they'd be able to recollect it out, right? If it's in this pocket space, they'd still take money.
For, like, the gear, sure, you could put an easy price on that. But for a secret that someone really needs, there's not really a good gold value. So you can have a party.
Paying favors, okay.
Yeah.
And then getting out would be just if you, as long as you keep either your favor or your payments and you don't cause a ruckus, the mob just lets you out?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Of course, so the mob's not going to play fair. They might steal some of your stuff when you're not looking, don't have enough money to get out now.
And if you happen to fall into the soup and your gear gets lost, that's just their game.
Okay. I think that settles it for me, at least.
Well, I think that just to kind of, oh, this might be a bit of a recap, but, you know, that's okay. But the kind of thing of having it be that, so we get, I just want to make sure we have it clear, I guess is the way of putting it. So we get eaten by the monster to get a secret. The secret is held by one of the dead people who are part of the soup. In order to get the secret from the dead person's part of the soup, they want a favor. The favor that you have to get is from the mafia. The mafia tells you you gotta get the parasites out and not fall into the soup if you want to live. You fight the parasites, you get back, you tell the mafia what they want, or that you cleaned the thing. They give you to the guy goes, okay, here's the secret, and then now you gotta figure out how to get out, right? Is that how this works?
Yep.
Well, the mafia will let you out once you finish your task.
You know, if they feel like it.
Because they would hear your secret, too.
I guess we're doing different styles of mafia, I guess, is our biggest. Cause I'm thinking of it as a clear cut, like, do your thing, and we don't have any business holding you here. This is like the open mafia area, is kind of how I'm seeing it. So rather than it being a secret, like, people know of this type.
I'm just thinking extortion is a thing.
So they know people go there a lot, and that's where adventurers get, you know, high-ranking gear. So as long as you follow the rules placed by the mafia, they're not holding you in contempt, and they let you leave freely. So as long as you won, like, no violence, no weapons, nothing like that. Like, as long as you follow their clear-cut rules, they're not going to try to screw you over and get out, because one, if you die, like David said, they get all your shit anyway, so that's one enough for them. Or stuff, sorry, that you get, they get all your stuff and gear. And two, you know, if you break the rules, they have all the power in here. They have all the guards. Everyone works for them here. You're not getting out alive if you break the rules, is kind of what I'm doing. Maybe if you have some prior experience with them and they've been, you know, maybe if they are your BBEG organization, that could be different. But my way is just like they're running the open black market where the kings and queens and such in the world isn't trying to like get rid of it. They know about it, but it's too big for anyone to like do anything with besides let it run and hopefully people don't anger them, is kind of my idea, which could be wrong, or that's just what I have in my head.
And I think two additional possible issues you could run into is if you learn too much about their operation and aren't like cool with it, like if you're gonna go and tell this Titan what they're doing, they might also consider offing you then. Or if whatever secret you're after also hurts their operation, because they're gonna hear that secret too, and they might be like, oh, well, now that you know that, you know too much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's perfect. There we go. Okay. I think that's what we needed to round
bridge
it out.
The gap. Fill in the gap, if you will.
Yes. Of our understanding. Yes, I think that would be great, because they would know. They would hear, and you know that any secret you hear, they hear. There's no price, and in their favor, maybe it might not be inside of the Titan. It could be fighting off. Maybe there's people who are trying to close it, and they're like, hey, we got this band of parasites, or, you know, lizard people, they call themselves parasites, that found their way in. We need you to kill them off so we can continue our operations, you know. We don't want any disturbances. Or maybe people are trying to steal everything inside of the bazaar, and you just happen to be there the night some grand thief tries to steal stuff. So, like, that's your favor, is like, we need you to get all our stuff back.
Quick note, I love the idea of the mafia just calling anything that tries to take stuff from the bazaar a parasite, that, like, tries to steal, or, like, does whatever. It's like, oh, yeah, he's full of parasites today. You gotta get rid of him. Like, that's just kind of a fun idea to me, of, like, this goblin being like, yeah, he's got parasites all day, every day.
I think that's great. And then they're like, it very much reminds me of the alien from Danny DeVito played from Space Jam 1, of just like, just toss him down to the soup. And then you just see, like, when you summon the soup, the it's not a person's body, but their spirit kind of like forms out of like the intestinal juices, and you see like the vague outline of them, and they tell you like their secret.
Yeah,
and
I was thinking that
back.
Too.
I think for whoever's like running the secret industry, they have some way to like control the soup, and that's why they're able to pull up who you are looking for specifically to get that secret. But while you're down fighting the parasites near the soup, some of the other things that have been kind of soupified are able to kind of pop out and talk to you, and that's where you can learn some of the information about the Titan. Like, maybe one of the first people to be put in the soup is like, hey, this is supposed to be a place of worship.
Maybe you can find, like, somehow weave it in where there's, like, another dimension that the original holy temple, where the people who are eaten by the Titans, their bodies are still perfectly preserved, and they're living in this hidden community away from the trying to think of the word. I want to say tarnish, but it's not that. The decaying, I guess, of the mafia's pocket dimension, or the copy of their dimension. Like, maybe the mafia disguised themselves as followers, learned the secrets, and then all of a sudden switched it to their personal gain. And maybe instead of them hiding, they were locked away. And if you find that this other place exists, the Titan then again remembers its original task of keeping the knowledge of people alive. And that could be interesting. That could be why they're so paranoid.
So they refer to this Titan basically as the soup library. You can go here and get everyone's knowledge from this.
The only time when you hear no soup for you is it's a good thing.
I think that is good. I think we're ready to move to the recap and synopsis. Today we have Malcolm on recap. Sam, you're going to be on synopsis.
Oh, okay. I'll just do what I did earlier. But again, so, yeah.
Copy and paste it. Copy and paste.
Well, I'll do a little bit fancier. You get eaten by some soup. So what happens is your characters happen upon the need for some information, and they learn that there is an organization who may have this information, but it comes at a price. Two prices, actually, an upfront easy cost that maybe you can afford. And also, you know, getting eaten by a titan, which is not so great. You get eaten by the titan, you figure out that, hey, there's a third part to this, and that is to get rid of the parasites within this thing. Now, what exactly counts as a parasite is completely up to the mafia. So, you know, you could be one too if you're not careful. So you got to make sure to follow all the rules and regulations that they have for you while clearing out all of these difficult individuals and maybe throwing them into the soup afterwards. Don't question it too hard, because you need to ask that soup some questions later on when you need to get info about a secret. Now, this secret is up to the DM's discretion on what it could possibly be, but, you know, it could move the plot forward in several different ways, so it's completely, you know, open-ended. And whether or how the mafia responds is completely up to them. So, you know, maybe it's something they don't care about, or maybe you heard a lot more than you should have. The choices are yours and yours alone. Have fun in your game. Whee! All right, did I give you enough time there, Mambo?
Yeah, I think so. All right, so your party is looking for the secret of who killed the king to their kingdom. It's been a long, hard journey, but they finally have found a thread to follow. It leads to JoJo's Bizarre Bazaar, and they know JoJo is a giant titan, and they have recently found out through the connections through an NPC that they have found and discovered that the mob has recently taken over said bazaar. And this place, once known for its powerful worship and library of ancient knowledge, has been tainted into a bazaar that sells a multitude of different weapons, books, spells, anything you can think of it has in this bazaar. The only catch? You have to be eaten alive to enter. Most who go in come back out. What if you break the rules? Well, it's soup time for you. And I think that's where I will end it.
Soup time never sounded so threatening.
I love the idea of just a bunch of Italian goblins running this.
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't think of it, but that was it. Hey, it's a soup time for you. Super generic and stereotypical Italian accent. If that triggers anybody, we'll just cut it out.
The Mario accent.
The Mario, you're right. The Mario accent. Mario goblins have taken over JoJo.
They heard someone use the accent and thought it was really neat.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the first person down there. They got stuck down. Mario's the first one to get down there. Oh gosh, we could have just put a bunch of Mario characters in there. We need the secret from a Princess of Peach.
Oh, well, then it has to be run by Myconids, because then it would be the Mushroom Kingdom inside.
Oh my gosh, we can't cut this part out now. This is too important.
All right, so a little editing magic, and we'll move this part before my thing.
No, we can keep it where it is. I'm just saying, this is a longer...
We'll fix it in post, as they always say.
Oh, yeah. The long-running joke of fixing it in post. So...
Yeah, we'll move to saying goodbye now. Thanks, everybody, for listening to Filling in the Gaps Rerolled. Our theme music is Today by Lindby from their album Drive. If you like it, you can hear more of them at lindby.bandcamp.com or on their actual play podcast, Bombarded. You can find the show on Twitter at FitGDND or on our Discord server. We're always looking for new themes and scenarios. I have been David. You can find me on Twitter at Daedra18. That's DAEDRA18.
And I have been your theme / synopsis guy, DM Mambo or Sam. And also, feel free to shout out any people you want us to have on the show. We're always looking for guests as well. Just, you know, do that on the Twitter and... or what was that other thing called? Discord. You can use that too. We're on there. Malcolm, last but not least.
Oh, yeah. That, yeah, I'm Malcolm. Hi. Don't even bother following me on Twitter. Follow the show instead at FitGDND. And not at Soup, though we should really get that now. I really kind of want to get the at Soup on Twitter to see who has that.
Probably the show The Soup.
That show went off air a long time ago. Give us the thing as The Soup. We want at Soup.
Our show is edited by the wonderful audio gremlin Andrew Brown. You can follow them at xnubinator912x. We are an Obtuse Audio Studios podcast. You can learn more about us at our website, obtuseaudio.com. If you liked it, please give us a 5-star rating and review on your podcast catcher of choice. We'd really appreciate it. Help get us out there. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today. It's too much today.
Obtuse Audio.